Now, if you turn with me, please, once again to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. To our text for this morning, in verse 33. They are undoubtedly familiar words. I trust that the Lord will take their familiarity and teach us something new, even concerning himself and his desires for us. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious Father, we come to thee again in our Saviour's name, recognizing that without thee we can do nothing. And so we ask that even as we gather now around thy word, to read it and to consider it and meditate upon it, that thy Holy Spirit might be our teacher, reveal to us the things of Christ, and encourage us even in our walk of faith. And may we be well instructed today in that we will have had the Lord as our teacher. These things we pray in the Saviour's name. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 33. We read these words of our Saviour, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And last week we looked at the subject of worry and all of the things that we concerned ourselves about. And we left, I hope, with the conclusion that worry was ultimately an unfulfilling and foolish and even a sinful pastime that we engage in, because at the end, it simply reveals a lack of trust in God to take care of us. So we looked at, I suppose you might say, the negative aspects of worry. And we suggested why we shouldn't be engaged in that practice. Things we ought not to do. And of course, that's really only half of the issue. That's only one side of the coin. And so this morning I want to present an argument that will focus, I hope, on the more positive aspects of trusting God and serving him. So on one hand, we want to avoid unnecessary worry and concerns, while at the same time fully trusting the Lord. And it is my prayer that this morning's message will serve as a counterbalance to a message on worry, and teach us not the things that we shouldn't do, but the things that we should do. And really it was the words of Psalm 90 and verse 12 that came to mind this week, came up in my devotions early in the week. And it came with the thought that you're never too old to learn. And one of the things that we're never too old to learn was Psalm 90 verse 12. "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And what it really means is this: teach us to recognize how few and fleeting our days really are, and help us to spend them as we really ought to, not to waste them. Teach us to number our days. Someone said that our life is like a $50 note. You can spend it any way you want, but you only get to spend it once. You've only one life. We don't get an opportunity to turn back the time or to relive past days. No matter how much we might want to do that sometimes, it's just not possible. And so we can't go back and change the past, so we have to make sure that the days going forward are spent the very best way that they possibly can. So we want to seek the Lord and to ask how we can make the rest of our life the very best of what it can be. And what do you think the Saviour might say in answer to that question? How can I ensure that the last and the rest of my days are the very best that they could be? Well, I don't think we have to wonder. I think the Lord has given us an answer to that question. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And I think we can summarize what the Savior said here very simply. Put first things first. Get your life into order. have proper priorities. And beginning today, if we consciously and consistently put the things that matter first of all in our life, that we will ensure then that whatever days we have left will be the very best that they could be. So the first suggestion that I have for you from this text is this: set proper priorities. And everything, I believe, rises and falls on this point. If our priorities are not in order, your life will not be in order. If your priorities are not right, your life will not be right. And we don't have to pray about what should be our number one priority. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to discuss it. We don't have to look it up. We know what our number one priority is because it's here in black and white before us. The Savior tells us that our number one priority should be the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek it first, He said. The words of our Savior are in the present tense. And I suspect that that's because we are to be continually seeking God first. Every day of our life, we ought to be seeking God first. Our problem is that we put so many other things first. Some will put a job or a profession first. I think it's important that when Christians are in the workplace that they are good workers. I believe that where a Christian works, that their employer ought to be able to see a difference in them and all of the others because of their attitude and their desire to do their work for the pleasing of the Lord. And so if you are in employment, then you ought to work in order to be that good employee. We want to make ourselves the very best that we can be. But we should never allow that job to become our first priority. Some people put the accumulation of wealth first. They'll spend their time and their energies gaining and getting, but very often lose out on a sense of the Lord in their life. Because the more that we seek earthly things, the less the things of God we tend to prioritize. Some people will put pleasures first. Some will tell us, well, Sunday's our only day off and I need that time to relax. I don't think God is opposed to us having time to relax or to recuperate and gather our strength to enjoy the things of life. But that ought not to be our chief aim and our chief priority. Nothing should come between us and the worship of God when it comes to the Lord's day. Some will put families first. Family's important, I understand that. But not more important than the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness is what the Savior said. And all these other things shall be added unto you. Put first things first. So what are we to do? Seek the King. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now you can't have a kingdom without a king. So the first priority of our life ought to be the seeking of the King of the kingdom. The Christian life is more than simply accepting the Lord. It's a continual seeking of the Lord, a desire to be drawn ever closer to Him. I worry about those whose salvation is simply a past experience where they claim to have called upon the Lord, received His salvation, and then went on their merry way without giving the matter another thought. Like buying an insurance policy that you've paid for and filed away so that you don't have to think about it ever again. I worry about people whose salvation is simply something in the past. The Savior said we are to seek, present tense, continuously, the kingdom of God. Having been saved by God's grace, it should be the desire of every believer to continually and daily seek for more of the Lord's presence in their life. Having tasted and seen that the Lord is good, we want to have as much of the Lord as we possibly can in our lives. So we seek him daily. I can tell you right now something about your relationship with God without even having to ask you very much. I can ask one question, and I can tell how much of God you have in your life. Well, you have as much of God as you want. You can have as much of God as you want. If you only have a little of God in your life, it's because you only want a little of God in your life. If you desire the Lord to fill your life each and every day, then that's what you will seek. And you will not rest until that is what you have. Now, the Lord does not have any favorites amongst his children, but he does have those who are more intimate with him than others. There are those like John the Apostle, who out of all the disciples that sat around the table with the Savior, was able to draw alongside and to put his head upon the Savior's breast. He wanted more of the Savior than the others. You have as much of the Lord in your life as you want. James the Apostle tells us to draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. God has promised in his word that ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Seek the King and seek him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put God first. Now, if you're in the habit of underlining your Bible or marking words, can I suggest in verse 30 that you underline the word faith, and then in verse 32 underline the word Father, and in verse 33 the word first. Faith in the Father first. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, Paul writes in Hebrews. Faith is really putting the Father first. The Lord doesn't want simply a place in your life. He doesn't even want prominence in your life. He wants preeminence over your life. He wants you to put him first. And I suggest a good way to do that is to give him the first part of every day. Begin your day with God. Then give him the first day of every week. Leave this day holy for the worship of the Lord. Then I suggest you give him the first part of every paycheck. And give your tithe as he asks. He wants to be first in your life. He's not interested in being the runner-up, the second place. He's not interested in being the vice president of your life. He's not interested in being second in command. He wants to be your king upon the throne of your heart. He is not a co-partner. He wants to rule and to reign over us. To be our king. So we are to seek the King, and we are to seek him first, and we are to seek his kingdom. To seek his kingdom. Now, a little earlier, we were taught to pray, "Thy kingdom come." So what do we mean when we say that we are to seek the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom really means the rule and the reign of the King. The kingdom is where the king rules. To seek the kingdom of God in our lives is to seek the rule and the reign of God over our entire being. So we're seeking for the glory of the King in our life, for every part and parcel of our life, for every minute and every moment of our time, for every ounce of our strength, with every muscle and fiber of our being, we're seeking the glory of God. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So we're seeking the glory of his kingdom. We want his kingdom to be magnified and glorified in us and through us. What else could it mean? It means we're seeking the guidance of the king. A loyal subject will want to do whatever it is that his king would ask of him. And there's no higher calling in our lives as Christians than to find out what the king would have us to do and then to do it with our might. And so we should begin every morning of our life with the same prayer that Saul of Tarsus asked of the Saviour there on the road of Damascus, Lord, what would thou have me to do? To seek his guidance and to seek his government, to be a loyal subject of the king, to be governed by his laws and his rules. Some might object and say, you're talking about slavery, about being ruled over by another and being under his command and doing his bidding. That sounds like slavery. The greatest liberty in this world is to be found in being controlled by the right master. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek the glory of his kingdom. Seek the rule of his kingdom. Seek the extension of his kingdom. Seek the government of his kingdom. Putting God first in our life means that we conform our lives to his ways, not conform to this world, Paul tells us. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To be conformed unto God and his kingdom. I don't have it on me this morning, but typically I carry a wallet in my hip pocket. I've had it quite a while, and I know it's mine by the curve of it, because it's curved after being in that pocket for so long. It's conformed to the shape of my hip, so there's quite a bend to it. That's what it means to be conformed unto the Lord. That all of the things that used to stick out in our lives and be out of shape are now being smoothed down so that we fit into the hand of God. And how close we are to the Lord will impact how closely our lives conform to his word and to his ways and will. Be conformed unto the Lord. Seek his kingdom. Seek his rule. Putting God first means then serving in his kingdom, being ambassadors for Christ, carrying the word and the will of our King to the far ends of this world so that every part of it comes under his sphere and influence. We're supposed to serve our King. We serve our King, we put his church first. We are here to do his work, to serve the Lord. So we owe to the Lord's church our time and our efforts and our presence, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We owe our prayers. Paul asked the church to pray for him on many occasions. James tells us to pray for one another. Who knows what mighty things we might accomplish if everyone were praying for the Lord's will to be done and his kingdom to come. Seek the King. Seek him first. Seek his kingdom. Seek his righteousness. There's a purity that comes from seeking the Lord. We're not only to seek the King and his kingdom, we are to seek his righteousness. We're not only looking for God's control over us, but we want a development of God's character within us. The kingdom of God is not only to be inwardly experienced, it's to be outwardly expressed. You see, if God is ruling over you and his righteousness is within you, then it will be evidenced by everyone around you. Our character is simply an outward expression of what we are at heart. Or in other words, our faith will always be recognized by its fruit. Our character will be recognized by our conduct. As we seek the King and his kingdom, his rule and reign over us, then people ought to be able to see the kingdom of God being outworked in our lives. We are never going to make a difference to the world around us until the world around us can see the difference in us. Now, there was a German philosopher by the name of Nietzsche. He came to this awful conclusion: God is dead. And he came to that conclusion by looking at Christianity. Here's what he said: if you want me to believe in your Redeemer, you're going to have to look a little bit more redeemed. Those are hard words to hear, but they're true. Why will they believe in the Savior whom you're preaching if there's no evidence of him in our lives? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That purity that comes from walking in fellowship with the Lord. And we can have it. The Savior told us earlier in this very sermon that we could have it. He says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Your desire to be right and to do right and to live right, desire it like a hungry man desires food and a thirsty man desires water. And the Savior said, you shall have it. Now notice something about this righteousness. It is his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Lord is not interested in our righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. He is, however, interested that we have his righteousness. God is not concerned about what we can do for him. He's concerned about what he can do through us. His righteousness. The Apostle Paul, after he was converted, made this one of the great goals and desires of his life. We read in Philippians 3 and verse 9, here's what Paul wanted: to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Righteousness must be imputed to us, given to us by the Lord, before it can be imparted from us, demonstrated to those around us. Before you can live it, God must first give it. That's why the Savior came to die, that we could have the righteousness of God applied to us. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Seek his righteousness. And as we do that, then that righteousness will be evidenced by our lives. We will live like kingdom subjects. There will be no doubt as to our allegiance to King Jesus. Everyone will know who we are and whom we serve. This righteousness flows out from being in a right relationship with the Lord through the work of Christ. I like what Martin Lloyd-Jones had to say. He said, he's not telling his hearers how to make themselves Christians. He is telling them how to behave because they are Christians. There ought to be a righteousness evidenced in our life. Righteousness has to do with the way that we practice, we live our Christian life. It's our attitudes, our thoughts, our language, our actions. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means our whole life focused upon the Lord, centered upon him. And that begins by knowing the Lord and pursuing him and seeking him in the scriptures that he's given to us, because it's the scriptures that reveal God to us. If we desire to understand the Lord and what it means for him to be the king over our life and the gracious ruler over every circumstance, then we must go to the Word of God. And the reason that we know so little about this king and his kingdom is because we neglect the scriptures. Let's seek the Lord. Let's seek him first. His kingdom and his righteousness in our lives, that it might be evidenced by all around us. And the reward that follows, we touched on this last week, we don't really need to cover it again, is that all these things shall be added unto you. The Christian turns from worry and believes and understands that God is his Father, and that as his Father, the Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. The Savior assures us it's not just that God is omniscient, and he is, but as your Heavenly Father, he knows and he cares. And the things that we worry about, when we seek God first, they're added to us, such things as we need. What were the things that people worried about? There was finances and food and fitness and the future and such things. But the Lord promises that if we seek him first and his righteousness, we will have all of the things that we need. David made this observation as an old man in Psalm 37. He said, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsake, nor his seed begging bread. God is faithful. He keeps his promises. Put him to the test. Put him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And just watch him bless you. Of course, before you can seek the kingdom of God, you must be first part of the kingdom of God. The only way to become part of the kingdom of God is to be born again of God's Spirit. To put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you have done that, you become part of his kingdom. You can begin to put God first in your life, and you can reap the benefits of following him. Instead of worrying about things that we have no control over, the Savior tells us to concentrate more fully and more importantly upon the Lord who reigns over us, to seek more of his rule in our lives, to seek his righteousness, to outlive it in our day-to-day existence, to make that our priority and our concern. To seek God first. May the Lord help us and enable us to do that. Entrust ourselves to God's care. To leave tomorrow in his hands. And to live unto his glory and his righteousness. May God bless his word for our hearts this morning.